Tonight I'm continuing the adventures of May the Gono. She's teaching in St. Ghetto High, the Sisters of Holy Mother. And she's finding things difficult. She's an articulate and intelligent person, and she's in a very rough and tumbled world. And the principal is not very helpful. And it's in a set of letters that she writes and may not send to the principal, which she writes from anyway in the classroom. Dear principal, this is 225. I managed to intercept the caretaker who agreed to send over a heater. It's very cold and it's the winter. No thanks to you, of course. I noticed that the boy who brought it handed it over very reluctantly. I think he wanted to bring it back to his own class, where doubtless frostbite and his own returning to rigor mortis also. I had to lever each of his fingers one at a time on the handle. They were either locked to it with the cold or his stubborn desperation to hold on to it. When I finally wrenched it from his grasp, I got John Moore to plug it into one of the sockets. At this point, there was a loud bang, a flash, some smoke, and a smell of burning rubber. The sockets in these prefabs are very old, and I really do feel that the whole wiring arrangement should be checked by a competent electrician if such a person would be willing to venture into this neighborhood. 11:46. All is not lost. We have located another socket hidden behind some old cardboard boxes. At present, I'm trying to brush John's hair back down into some semblance of order after his involvement with the first socket. I'm endeavouring to calm his nerves and stop the involuntary trembling of his body. I think I shall ask Paul Kennedy if he will be so good as to try the other socket. He is a very restless but usually cooperative pupil, one who would, I think, do anything to get out of class, even if it involved hospitalization. 11:49. Paul surprisingly has declined to try the other socket, pointing out that there is no one else to collect his baby sister from the creche in the event of anything unfortunate happening to him. He has the impertinence to suggest that I might do it myself. I don't think I like that boy anymore. It's sad when good people go bad. 11:51. I have been seeking a volunteer from the class for the last 2 minutes to plug the heater in. No success yet. It has become quite a staring match. I am all the while trying to stroke John's hair back down, but it keeps springing off. It keeps springing off because of the electric. This is not helping my case. It's frightening the other children. Have decided to send from outside the door until I get another volunteer. 11:53. John is gone, but still no luck on the volunteer front. I'm dealing with a crowd of mercenaries here. They would do it, no doubt, if I let them off their homework, but I refuse to drop educational standards. Many a pupil will drop before I drop my standards. I have my conscience to live with after all. My husband's too as well, but let's not go into that right now. One negative thing at a time. Unfortunately, no one seems to be any more sensible than Paul Kennedy, the cheeky boy with the baby sister. I feel that boy has started an undesirable trend towards non-cooperation in the class, and maybe the year master should be asked to look into this at some stage. Caution, if he does decide to look into it, he would do well to look out. That boy is turning into a nasty piece of work, and he never does any. 11:57, the cold is intense. Paul Irwin, the fat pupil, who every so often gives his chair and is trying to get free of the desk, has had no success in this endeavor. James, the delicate boy, sitting at the front, is not moving either, and has turned an even deeper shade of blue, purple now, really. He's beginning more and more to resemble one of those exotic fish, and sometimes he's staring at you from fish tanks in Chinese restaurants. The windows are now completely iced up. Do you think I should risk the other socket myself? If I don't, we may all freeze. 11:59. I think I will. 12 o'clock. Or will I? I have not made a will. What am I worrying about? I have nothing to leave anyway. I will. I have told the pupils that I may be sometime. I don't think they got the Arctic reference, though.
Thank you, Jerry.
Yeah.
Next up, we have Bree Bradley.
Okay, so this is called Advice to a Friend. I can make him want me. Oh, friend, I tell you in your best interest, it may make little difference if you comb your hair yellow or tear it all black. He sees you or doesn't, it's as simple as that. Don't make yourself thinner or the old you less thinner for him. But I can make him want me. Oh, friend, I hate to inform, we're in final form no longer. This is no leaving cert. He is not a test of how good you are. And you can't cut copy and paste the shape of your heart. Who's to know the exact geometry of the girl only he sees and dreams? I can make him want me. Oh, friend, why join the moth around his dull flame? I know that it's easy, gives him claim to fame. But why settle on noon when you can have sun, though you think you need him when the day is done? He is nothing without love light of others and orbits his orbit faster than speed of light can reach him. I can make him want me. Oh, friend, how can you not know you are worth weight in gold? I cannot tell you to look north, south, east, or west. I have no coordinates to give you, but your neck is stretched in the wrong direction. The sun may be on the horizon if you open your eyes for him or wait a little longer in the cold. I can make him want me. Oh, friend, do you really want to? What has he done to make you want him? Spin on your own axis. I've learned how to. And when you do, it's really quite a view you'll find. Don't look behind. When you see it, it won't burn your eyes. There'll be no need for spectacles. Comet tails will unravel, and all others crumble into moon dust as you lie in the light of the sun. And this is called a bottle bank. He opens his mouth, broken bottles fall out, and shat on his back, meant to go to the bottle bank, never quite got the chance. She opens her mouth, falling stars hurtle out, too fast to catch, so door remains locked. Prior to star crash. The night opens its mouth and takes a deep breath, vomits constellations on which all lie, be it life, be it death, and we ponder its portents, poke a stick in its entrails, searching for meaning in one that has none. Trails of snails, a star is sliming, fate too, unaware that it is holding up traffic. She opens her mouth before fire's lit has gone out, though all her world shimmers, teeth and mute mirrors, she closes her mouth, she poses in house.
Thank you, Grace. Next we have Mary Ann Powell.
Okay, I'm not doing any lines for us today, or tonight. This is, God help us, a solace for summer. It was actually a competition or a, know what you'd call it, a challenge put forward by the Cork City Library for a sonnet. So I entered, and it was actually published in Jericho. So it's just an ordinary sonnet. A sonnet for summer. The wild abandon of a brown-limbed child drenched in the radiance of summer's past is tame. Grown older, she is less beguiled by certain scenes she always thought would last. Those hills of heather and fierce blazing gorse, topping a drowsy quilt of tiny fields. The tar that slowly bakes beneath the force of unrelenting rays and then congeals. Honeysuckle spilling from a crumbling wall. An evening thick with insect-curdled air, the scent of petals as they slowly fall, waves chivied by the lightship's sweeping glare. There's nothing in the present to outshine the salt-washed splendor of that halcyon time.
Mary and Hal, very intense.
A song of the South. Plumping bird of morning and plump me to the crust of antiquity, craving my thoughts in the depth of this bird and thing. There are feelings so deep they thrill through the fever of sunset that command the chariot of daybreak and purge the mist of my fears. Your command knows the sacred to knowing, a caress on a butterfly's wing that flies to the ebb and orb of strumming heart that drums blissfully on keys of serendipity. Your compact leads the great trunk of no divide, just a crossing over to greener land within the swirling mother of no time. I feel music, the language of passing, and let it rip me apart, play the elements that bless my child's liveness and kindle my atom of sun. Now for now, as I am that I am, I submerge, emerge, and re-emerge as one. Thank you.
Brilliant. And next we have Mom Harris.
Wonderful portrait, Leanne. I wish you could write poetry like that. This is a very unserious short story. Life can be stranger than fiction. Bloody hell, now we're really up Ship Creek without a paddle, Molly. Jeez, I wish it was Ship Creek instead of the fucking Atlantic. A huge wave had swept over the stern of the boat, nearly taking them with it, and then had rolled off the buoyancy chambers. Both pairs of oars had disappeared in the cauldron of swirling water. Oh my God, what do we do now, Molly? I don't know, but we're in danger of going to fight onto the waves, said Molly O'Neill. Right, if we broach, we'll capsize, yelled Jill over the howling of the wind. Quick, we'll have to rig up some kind of sail, said Molly. Jill Mabry was already lashing the long boat up to the thwart of the temporary mast. We'll use our oilskins for sails, she said. The boat started to turn sideways as another enormous wave lifted it. For a moment it seemed ages to the two women. The little craft teetered on the face of the roller. Then the foaming crest surged underneath and the boat dropped down into the next trough. The two women rapidly rigged up their oilskins on the makeshift mast, tying cords of legs and sleeves so they could hold the billowing orange water to its out into the following wind. The boat steadied its course again. Molly looked over at her companion's strained face and sodden hair and shivered in the driving rain. Possessed us to take on the Atlantic in the roaring boat, Jill. We need our second heads examined. Bit of a gap. Bill leaned over in the pew. Jack, where the hell is Molly? She whispered. Oh, do I know, Bill? You're the best man. You're supposed to sort things out for me. Bill, this is one I can't throw out of you by, whispered Jack.
The images flashed back into Bill Johnson's mind of the rescue off Mizzenhead. He had been piloting the chopper and Jack Holmes was the winchman.
The little boat was nearly on the surf-battered rocks when they had snatched the two women from the jaws of death. That's how he had met this infuriating young Galway woman, Molly O'Neill. On the second date, it was at the Metropole Hotel during the Cork Jazz Festival. He had known he was in love with Molly. Bill leant over again.
Jack, what if she's changed her mind?
Ah, Bill, don't be bothering yourself, boy. Sure, don't you know the women like to keep the men waiting?
This is going a bit far. It's an hour now. Her mobile switched off.
There was a pause, then Jack whispered.
Bill, maybe you're better off without her.
What do you mean, Jack?
Well, don't freak out, sure you won't, whispered Jack. The day before the stag, Molly and I had a little fling, like.
Bit of a gap.
What's that you said, lady? You're about to give birth?
Exclaimed Eddie.
Down that flyman crowd.
Molly looked pleadingly at the burly truck driver.
There's a hospital over at Whoop Whoop. Whoop Whoop? Christ's sake, that's bloody 190 miles out of my way.
Well, I'm only just starting labour.
We could make it. Please. And if we don't, do I look like a bloody midwife?
where the fuck's your hubby? Or your boyfriend, or whoever put you in the pudding club? Jack Collins, the bastard, left me. Took off in the jeep while I was checking on the lambing. Left a note saying he wasn't cut out to be a farmer, he didn't fancy giving up bachelorhood, and I should radio for the flying bloody doctor he was. Eddie shook his head. Some fucker should they cast right? Molly nodded and mused on the various methods with which she might kill the jackal. Would ground glass and its fosters be too kind? Yes. She would think of something even more painful. Who the hell had he gone off with this time? Sure, look, I know you're a kind man, Molly said with a smile. Could you stop and give me a lift, and me looking like a stranded whale? Funny bloody accent. You Irish or something? Oh, look, here's a turn for Wolfwood coming up, said Molly. Truth, you wouldn't bloody read about it. Eddie swore softly to himself. Women, what was he going to do if she had the nipper there and the crab in the calf, for Christ's sake? Then he remembered that his poor mother had died giving birth to him. He swore again, then flung the big Arctic over onto the black top to Wolfwood. And another gap. The newborn baby boy lay nestled on Molly's breast. The replacement nurse, a tan, slim blonde, came in for the next shift. She stopped suddenly. Molly, it couldn't be. It bloody well is. Jill, what are you doing here in Oz, of all people, in the outback? I could ask you the same, Molly, but I can see, having babies. Molly shifted uncomfortably. Yeah, first one, I'm fucking wrecked. What are you going to call this little friggin' blighter, said Jill. Molly Lamb, you've picked up the Aussie lingo fast. I'm calling him Bill. Oh, ask the chap you dumped at the altar. Molly smiled ruefully. Yeah, the fella I should have married instead of running off with that and living in sin with that bastard Jack. Jill's face paled. Jack? Her hand flew up to her face. Don't mean Jack Collins from Cork. She looked into Molly's eyes, which suddenly seemed even more dark and flashing than she remembered. Jill Mabry turned away suddenly. Look, Molly, I'll drop in on you later, she mumbled quickly. I'm on my round. She ran out of the room. Her growing intuition froze Molly's heart. Bastard, she shouted. Bastard! Then she remembered the baby. Oh, that wasn't meant for you, darling, she said as little Bill turned red-faced and started squalling. The next hour of Molly O'Neill's life was spent breastfeeding her baby and planning just how she could arrange an accident so that Jack fell down and broke his crown and Joe came home and after the baby.
Next up we have Seamus Harrington.
Thanks, Bob. Jim Gallagher. Secret hologram fading astern. Our muted oars can't drown streams gurgle. See that mackerel sky. As we meet the open basin, ahead breaks the surface. Bulbous and slick, bristling and whiskers ensnared in the moonlight. A bark to starboard, an answer abeam. Splash astern, a grunt abreast. Colony line on adjacent sea rock. In this school we pause, immersed in aquatics, eavesdropping. Smooth leads are miles to our mooring. We all know well the sacrilegious outboard must remain tilted and still. The tow. Midsummer's day, serene sea state. Life barge astern, knots match our rate. In a lazy swell she rose and fell, while tugged by one Rolls-Royce straight eight. We plow along with mighty force, propelled by blade with pitch that course. Seahorses stoop from towline's loop, contemporary aid don't include marsh. Distinct canoes far, clustered dots. Skill training for brave able tots, past canted decks of sunken wreck, ignoring boys for lobster pots. A vessel now approaching fast, sails bulging wide and solo mast, port hull held high, dissects blue sky, the trimaran was crashing past. Majestic scenery all around, and cable car high, outward bound, wired pylons grand, link sky to land, you see, we ventured dirty sound. They've broken down, landlubbers yelled, a sitting duck they be, a shelled, across windy cliffs, he points his quip, he seems to think she's self-propelled. Raucous, roaring over railing, sudden copter with basket trailing, fish docks the farm, cause mild alarm to black-faced sheep with visage paling. A beam discreet to splash so meek, green waters pierced by the gannet's beach, reconnoiter, second lighter, yet down he stays, small fry to seek. But suddenly the surface breaks, see there he goes, well up he takes, in silver guise, a wriggling prize, yet shortly now he'll have fish cakes. Surging up from starboard quarter, high-powered drone of angler's charter, trilateral hull, delays and all, their steaming time so much shorter. On bows converge the dolphin school, mates snapping shots to make one drool, deep in four peaks we hear them speak while swapping place in ordered rule. Off headlands bite while breakers boil, to hold through course takes guts and toil, but gulf stream pace, clash moontide race, not yet high time shake mortal coil. Due south now a swift commotion, turmoil, thunder, crashing ocean, on exercise we realize an offshore lifeboat through the ocean. From BHF, child's laughing squawk, fine-tuning brings like garbled talk, an angry plea, leave 16 free for those who need an urgent cock. A low spotter plane sweeps overseas, one pass before we've ready cheese, seen, forsaken, image taken, and dispatched with four strokes of keys. Head out to sea, course we're off day, Coop duly calls, sent laden tray, more fun and mirth before we burst, but that's the tale for another day. And the waiting. No word. 10 paces to the window, the harbour's mouth empty. Nothing but another vacant wave. Deep against the edge, another silent gull. The phone, the only one for miles. Don't touch it. Surely no news is good news. What is it? They're well overdue. Why no message? God damn it. No, sorry, they're only late. But supposing a leak, fouled propeller, maybe a ground, radio shade, fatigue, fire, a sub, a wave, even a pit prop, gas explosion, broken sea pop, brother, stop it, what's the time? A pump jam, man overboard, a rusty mine, the bay window, the knockers, black pines, bleaker, blacker, yes, the wires, no, that's right. It's fresher now, the swell more lumpy, the broken cliffs more bristle. I know, water and the fuel, that was a steeper trough and the upturned hulk, the first cold plunge of panic of the half-tide rock. Blasted to hell, the orange fender slips down the plank of sky to grapple with the hull, a major hull, with a list, rolling her red underbelly and losing buoyancy, losing stability, like me, yes, I can nearly taste the salt. The seascape fades, scream up, shiver, no, not salt. The Christian and June, caught in two, lost with all hands. Admit it, they are overdue. Tears spill from waterproof eyepieces. The blinking mist clears, thanks be. The sea can be a good friend. Hector girl was outside with a bad master. And washed Catherine of Jesus. Pray and hope. Pray for God's sake.
Thank you, James. Last round, sit around. Can I have one there, Lucy, please? Do you want to have one? Okay. Is there anyone else who wants to get on this list? Okay. Next up we have Eugene.
The view from the Dublin Hotel Havana, Port of May, Dawn, City Bound, People of Cuba, by busload, by lorry load, Harkless, Pilot, Quarters.
Next up we have Alishi.
I'm not actually going to do a phone tonight, I'm going to do a rap, but I'm not going to bother using the microphone because, you know, the distortion from the mic and stuff like. So what I'm going to do is, I have a song there called Up Off Your Seat. I performed it during the Savoy on Wednesday, like, and it went down well enough, like, I just want to see what you think of it anyway. So when the chorus comes in, I'm going to start clapping, and if you like it, or, you know, if you feel like clapping, you know, if you want to clap along to the chorus or whatever, like, it's up to you, like, you know. 1, 2, 3, 4, it's time to prove it. Yes, these rhymes are elusive, cause that's the good they can't believe it's the truth with. It's being spoken when I'm holding the mic, cause I flick the cold shiver that will go in your spine. I bring a flavor to your crazier than anything else. My lyrics are first, so much that who's gonna mess and who's gonna tell it. Story in the way that I can, introducing the best rapper in the globe, you know it as well. I always excel, some people try to write me off, I write it out in quantities without this over Microsoft. You might be soft, but I'm up all night, I stay up all my life to get this first right. Then let it go, yeah, I'm off the hook, and I can make any party come from bad to good. And this is just an introduction. Just a taste of what's yet to come, man. I get you up off your feet to get down, baby. So get up off your feet, move it around, baby. If you feel me stand your feet, cause it's going down, baby. And I know what you're feeling me right now, baby. Get you up off your feet to get down, baby. So get up off your feet, move it around, baby. If you feel me stand your feet, cause it's going down, baby. And I know that you're feeling me right now, baby. Are you ready? Cause you know I am. I can play these verses and you know I'm damn good at what I do. Don't say that I'm not, because I'm rocking every stage from here to New York. Writing lyrics on the bus, writing lyrics at home. Raising spirits with your glitter, so it's rotting your bones. Rapping with the kind of beat that'll make you shake it in your living room. In the club, for us, so much it's got to say, give me room. We didn't get you in the mood, the way that I keep giving you. So we need to start this mood, got to say, and here's the crew. Got to making all the moves, you're looking for the clues. Rocking through this hip-hop like you're dancing at a bar and do. Drinking alcohol till I get tipsy. Then you find me in the club like 50. with a bottle full of blood getting pissed, we don't stop to the break of dawn. I get you up off your seat to get down, baby. So get up off your seat, move it around, baby. I guess you feel me fucking sleep because it's going down, baby. And I know that you're feeling me right now, baby. Get you up off your seat to get down, baby. So get up off your seat, move it around, baby. I guess you feel me something sleep because it's going down, baby. And I know that you're feeling me right now, baby. Give you everything. In in-depth analysis, wind swept the glamorous 10 different languages. Lyrically, I'm literally out of this world, and I'm vividly accepting every word that is spoken. You wanna match me on lyrics, you better listen on Twitter. You're trying to speak to put my track and repeat, cause it's not possible, you ain't got to steal. When I speak, I swear, when you speak, you just don't know the drill. I'm falling at you, creating the perfect pitch. Whether or which you decide to agree with it, I precipitate on stage because I give it my all. My heavyweight displays and make your jaw fall. Watching the audience gaze in amazement, it seems like magic when you get the right word arrangement. What does it take to make a hit like this? Even Rihanna gets wet when I spit like this. Get your off your feet to get down, baby. So get up off your feet, move around, baby. You keep me talking to feet because it's going down, baby. And I know that you're feeling me right now, baby. Get your off your feet to get down, baby. Come on, up off your feet, move around, baby. Give me something to eat cause it's going on, baby. And I know that you're feeling me right now, baby.
Thank you, Mr. Jackson. Where are you being? Next up we got Celine McCarty.
Afterwards. And can anybody guess what my poem's about in the way that's in it and the colours I'm wearing? She looks here like it's a red
arrow. Yes.
Car
put in the camogie.
Anyway, we'll leave that to it. And were you out there tonight for the return?
Yeah.
Were you? I remember back in May, tuning in Tarky and hearing the return of that infamous tune that brought flutter to my heart. Da, 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 da. My excitement rose. The Championship 2008 was about to start. We've only been in All Ireland four times in 124 years, and only once for the first time in 2003, but it still gets the blood going in all Joan Gales, and especially in me. We didn't have a good league, and injuries had done us no favour. Doubts were still surrounding our leader, our captain, Ryan Duver. Since our win in 2005, Peter, the great, Canavan, had retired, a true deal in every right, so our chance at this year's All-Ireland final truly would be a sight. Kerry entered the championship looking for three in a row. The pundits fancied Dublin to meet them in All-Ireland Day, but despite this, 34 teams started the championship, hoping they'd all be the ones to go all the way. A scare came on to Rome back in May, when a tight match against the Rome down brought us to a replay. Level of extra time, Down managed to get a winning score, putting us only a team through the infamous back door. Doubts lingered over injury and a young team. The thought of getting to an All-Ireland final certainly seemed like a distant dream. The draw had us face loud to a small crowd in our home ground, but we secured a win, which meant we would go through to the next round. We went on to meet the men from Westmeath and Oma TV Park, with Sean Cavanagh being stretchered off, followed by his brother Colin. We all began to lose heart. But we managed to win and live to fight another day. However, no one was optimistic after watching how our red hand men had played. The time had come for the qualifying teams to play in the headquarters of Croke, but we drew Dunmahan's Mayo men, and the fear was in us, but we never lost hope. Just by a single point we managed to struggle a win, but then came our biggest challenge. We were to play the mighty Blues of Dublin. Caffrey's men were favourites, with the force of Gluckson, Brogan and Whelan. Tyrone would have to put up a hell of a fight, was the general feeling. None of the critics backed Rome. We headed southward, expectations unknown.
but the tone came of pure class came onto the field and quality football was shown. The pundits were not silent, the hill came to stand still and the scores were fired. Tyrone hammered Dublin and later that night, Heather McCaffrey was hired. So the semi-final time came around again, a familiar outing found Cork playing Kerry Men. A breathtaking final minute seen Cork draw, and so they had to play Kerry again. So a day at Croke for a double semi was to be had, and at the end of the day there was to be a joyous team, and some Cork supporters were sad. We were to meet the Allegallies of Wexford, a team living the championship dream. We certainly didn't underestimate them. They were driven, definitely a driven team. But Kerry beat Cork and Tyrone their game. They did win. And so now we know who the two teams that will grace the field of Croke Park in the All-Ireland final. What's going to happen, sure no one can say. All I know is that 6 months ago, I didn't think I'd be going to Dublin on the All-Ireland Day. Who's going to win? We hear them sing, from Dingle to Strabane. And to win All-Ireland once again, surely is the plan. To win it again on Sunday, fortunes will be made. For whoever will win it on Sunday will be the team of the decade. Come on, Tyrone!
Thank you very much for that today. Well, it was Kerry beat Cork, yeah, I suppose. Yeah. Go on to room. Next up we've got Stephen O'Reilly. Stephen.
Decadent wave of convoluted rhythm, spirit, sprite, limbs, verse, hailing from tears and all, hackneyed and hand-fisted, my pen is dipped with a view to frame you. For want of thought or reason to speak through you, I merely engage to speak about you. May you be generous enough to lend me 60 years with you. Upon sunset of that day, perhaps I know a little something about you.
Okay, we've just got a few people left. And then we're going to head off to the Crane Lane, as usual, I think. Next up, Mr. Eugene Barry.
Thank you very much, Bob. Thanks for a wonderful reading tonight and the pleasure. 21 years ago this year, on the 21st of April, my daughter Stephanie was born, and I wrote this poem on the 21st of April. She was obviously a Tory, so I wrote this poem that was published in America a couple of weeks ago. And anyway, this is it. And when you hit the bullseye, Apgar checked her watch and smiled as she listened to your perinatal soliloquy. To the working audience, it was just another arrival. But I swear I witnessed Zeus throw a kiss to the blind usurpers, both gods and men for wagons. I viewed you first from a spaceship release and loved you instantly. Thank you.
I'm going to bring you a poetry next week and send it to you together, by the way. Next we have Davey.
Trangia. Unaware of crossing students there, firmly embedded in my skin. Rose in my mind each a problem I did can't remember. A pulse and scare waiting to roast, pouring cool red iron, freezing time like shivers froze people of Pompeii. A working mind of a teenager lost, too much time to think, too much time to die. Unseen, unknown, unheard, a release, forgotten end. Looking back, not in disgust, nor hope that my stare will end up on top of the roof of the manger. But the rose of my mind, the rose on my arm, mapping rose to new life. Erasing the slums in the race that were once in, that were like once in France, similar to the ones of my mind. Thanks to the punk, thanks to Nemo, thanks to my friends. I'm here today.
Thank you, Barry. And next we have Mary Brenna.
Vampires overdose on blends of rich, thick contradiction of
unraveled sprints expire. And even as muses, pilgrim seasons, muses each leave a trail of purple dripping from tongue and teeth, a new harvest of mystery. And even as stars, poets sip a mountain manna, purple flowing wine, dream drunk poets, pulse deafened, descend purply, their season bliss. Thank you very much. And we'll see you in 2 weeks.